Well, if we had to close the doors to the service right now and head home, each and every one of us should have been blessed to have been here this morning. Appreciate that good song that was just sung. All the music, that song is especially beautiful to me. We sing that song back home, and I think of where I was and how God's grace got right down to the level I was at and raised me up. I can't help but think that I'm serving a wonderful Savior. Praise God this morning for that grace. We want to just quickly thank you once again for the wonderful hospitality and all that you've done for us. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. The congregation is so very good to us, and your dear pastor treats us so well, and we really thank you for that. Over the last two services, we've discussed a lot about success. For those of you that weren't here, we talked about youth revival, and I see some new faces. And just because the title Youth Revival might make you think that it's all for the young people, we looked into some definitions and we found that really a youth revival would be fitting for anyone who's in a state or period of growth and development and realizes that they have a need for a greater interest, consciousness, and strength in the things of God. And so all of us this morning can put ourselves into the service and get something out of it. The last two services, we've discussed the meaning of success. We've also laid out the differences between real, true, godly success and the empty, false success of the world. And by now, at this point, we should all have an understanding of what it means to be successful in the eyes of God and why we should want to be successful in our spiritual lives. Another important aspect of the thoughts is realizing that success without God is an utter and abject failure. And we must remember Him with any sort of success in life, whether it's in our spiritual lives or even an amount of worldly success when kept in the right light. But we must remember that any sort of success in life, that we must give the glory to God always, first and foremost. And really handling success in any other way presents a real danger in our lives and to our souls. We've let you know that the thoughts that God gave us were a recipe for success. And we revealed those three ingredients being desire, which we discussed last night, determination, which we'll discuss this morning, and dedication, Lord willing, we'll discuss if we have the opportunity to do so. We pray that as we discussed desire last night, that many of you understood that it's a wonderful starting point towards a more successful Christian experience. Having a strong desire to do the will of God in our lives is a necessary point for each and every one of us to embark if we're going to be successful. You can't get successful if you don't have a desire to be so. And so that's where we must start in realizing our true potential for Christian success. As we try to encourage you to have a greater desire, we also want to reiterate that that desire should be to be the very, very best you can be in serving God this morning. To be the very best worker in the kingdom of God that you can possibly be. Don't just desire some success, desire ultimate success in the kingdom of God. Desire to be the very, very best you can be. We talked a lot about you should never be ashamed to desire to be what God wants you to be. And we trust that this morning that many of you kindled or rekindled a greater desire in your lives, and we appreciate that. And we want you to know this morning that we encourage you to foster that, to let it grow, and always keep a desire to move up a little closer to God every single day. It's a good place to start every day, down on your knees, asking God to give you more of what He has in store for you. So as having our first foot forward on a path to greater spiritual success with the desire and strong want for more of God is wonderful, and we understand it to be that starting point, we must remember that it is just that. It's a starting point. It's the beginning. It's that first step. And every journey always begins with a first step, but far too often, too many people's journey ends with that first step as well. And that first step is important. I'm not diminishing it at all. You heard me speak from my heart last night about how desirous we are for you to take that first step. But we want to really drive home the point this morning that it's not the first step that ultimately is the most important, but really it's the last step that will bring us home to glory. So having a beginning is important, but it will not in and of itself ensure a real lasting success. Many people do have a desire to be successful or to make something out of their lives. You meet people, we've discussed that ad nauseum about the fact that everybody really wants to be successful, right? And I think that we all believe that. But you might say, if everybody really wants to be successful and everybody has a desire to be something, why do so many people fail? A lot of people start out. If you think about it, we say back home, and I'll use our congregation because I'm familiar with it, but Brother David has said many times, if every single person that has ever came through the doors of our building and started out and made a good start, if every single person were there today, the whole of that building wouldn't contain them in the least. We'd need a building probably this large. If every person, no doubt, that has come through here and made a good start at one point or another and did have a desire to serve God and to be successful, we're still here this morning. One service wouldn't accommodate them all, even with the balcony full. Lots of people start out. Lots of people get that desire. But far too often, they let that desire stay right there at the beginning of a journey, and they don't take anything else. It's difficult to discuss the next ingredient, so to speak. It requires a lot from you, and it's not easy. Success doesn't come easy. A Christian life is not the easiest life, but like anything, a Christian life, a well-lived Christian life, is worth so much. And anything worth having in life, you have to work for if you want something to be of lasting value. And so, as we get into our next ingredient, determination, you might guess what I want to do. I want to read you the definition of what determination is. Firmness of purpose. I like that. Firmness of purpose, will, or intention, full of ambition and determination, a fixed purpose or resolution, a determination to succeed. It also can mean a decision on a course of action, the process of deciding on or establishing a course of action. Some very, very deep meanings of what determination really is. And if we think about that in our spiritual lives, we want to talk to you this morning about having a real resolve, a firm determination that you will serve God no matter what. It says a firmness of purpose. Every single one here gathered together this morning has a purpose. All of us were created to have the same purpose. You and I were created by God for one thing and one thing only, and that's to serve Him. God created man to please Him, and our purpose is common this morning between us, and that's beautiful. That's a bond that keeps brothers and sisters together. A firm purpose can be a bond that keeps husband and wives together. A resolved determination can be what propels you to a level of success that you never knew you could attain in your spiritual lives. And so we need to be determined that no matter what, We will not let that desire that we spoke about and that I believe that we really have deep down within our hearts this morning, we won't let that desire just sit by the wayside and be for nothing. But rather, we're going to be determined that we're going to live for God in this old world. Amen. And you might say, Brother Chris, that's good, but what should we be determined to do? In the Church of God, we know that first and foremost, that desire causes within us a change in our lives as we give our hearts and lives to Christ and we accept Him as our personal Savior. But then we go on. We don't stay right there at the altar, but we get up a new creature, different than before, and we realize that we can have that resolve, that determination to live a life free from sin. And that's beautiful this morning. And if we're going to have determination in anything in our lives, it must be before anything. We must be determined that we are going to live without sin. That we're going to leave it right where it is. When we came and gave our hearts and lives to Christ, or if you haven't done so yet this morning, God help us, you do that someday. You leave that sin right there. And you're determined that no matter what, it's going to stay right there. The past of your life stays behind, and on you go in your journey with the ability to be successful in the eyes of God. Determination is so important in our Christian lives. The best desires, the most beautiful desires, the most important desires left alone without determination will ultimately just be nothing more than an I wish. And we know that's what desire means. We read it to you, right? To wish for something, to want something very strongly. How many times have you heard a little child say, I wish I could have that doll? Oh, I wish I could go with my friends. A lot of people wish for a lot of things, but they just stay right there. They kind of just leave it out there. They never make anything of that desire. But this morning, we want to talk to you about determination. Being determined to take that desire, that thing that you want so badly, and it should be for us first and foremost, Christ and God and salvation. That's what our desire should be more than anything in life. We want to take that and we want to put that into practice. And if you're going to do that this morning, you have to be determined. You can't just assume that it'll all come easy, because it won't. It doesn't come easy. It's not an easy road. An old sister from Montana sings that song so beautifully. It's not an easy road. But it's a beautiful road. And it's a road that pays. It's a journey that will ultimately bring you to the most meaningful success ever. And that is what? Making heaven our eternal home. But if you're going to do it, it could be a very long road. We don't know when the end may come. For some, it's much sooner than others. And we must be determined that as long as we have breath, we will serve God. Amen. It is too easy to let a good start go to waste by not fostering a real determination in our hearts and our lives. It's easy to just let determination sit behind us. That's easy, and I want to drive that home this morning to you. If it's easy, it's probably not worth much. If you have to work hard to attain something, that thing that you're attaining, and what we're talking about this morning is God and success in His eyes, it is worth working hard for. So you have got to every single day be determined. Have a firm purpose, a will or intention to succeed. Purpose in your hearts that you will serve God. And while many made, I think, a beautiful move last night to say, God, give me a greater desire to serve you, I think it's not the final point for any of us just to have that. It's a good start. It's a wonderful way to begin. But why stop at the beginning when God has so very much for each and every one of us? God wants us to go on to greater things, greater understanding, greater service, greater truth, greater fellowship, greater love. God wants that from each and every one of us. But to be able to fully understand it and fully receive it, we have to be determined that we will do our very best for God every single day. In the opening service, we reminded you what are some of the things that help ensure Christian success, and we talked about how important it is to read every single day the Word of God. We talked about the utmost importance of consistency in your prayer life. We talked about how important it is to attend the house of worship. We talked about how important it is to every single day set some time aside for God and meditate on His precepts and what He wants for us. If you're going to do that successfully, you have to be determined to do it. Amen. It's a lot easier to let your day get filled up with life than it is to purposely fill your day up with God. We're all busy, right? I don't know anybody who's not busy. Not a one. My 9-year-old son is busy. I don't understand how kids today stay on top of all that they do. But he's busy. He's 9 years old. We're all busy. I get it. I understand. But I'm here to tell you, if you're determined to make heaven your home, if you're determined to be a success in the eyes of God, if you're determined to do everything it's going to take to be a real Christian this morning, you will take time to push those things back and to give God what's due Him. That's first and that's best. God's due our very first, and God is due our very best. God gave us His first and only Son, and God gave us all of heaven's best in Jesus. And so we must be determined on a daily basis to work hard, to read, to pray, to attend the house of worship when it's time to attend the house of worship, and to meditate. And those things aren't easy in and of themselves. But I'm going to tell you, when your determination turns into real success, all of those things I mentioned not only become easier, but they become the joy of your life. You see a successful Christian, and you see someone who loves to get into the Word. You see someone that won't do a thing before they get down on their knees and pray. You see someone who gets excited when it's time for revival, right? You see somebody that when it's time to get to church, they're there. They're ready. They're going to put their all into it. You see someone that is reflective and introspective, and they can sit still and rest in God and meditate on His holy precepts. Those are things you see in the life of a successful Christian. And those are the things in that person's life that are what they want to talk about, what they want to share with others, what they want to do. Like I said, they are the joy of someone's life. And those things that may at one point, and if you're not there yet this morning, it may seem overwhelming to have to read, to have to pray, to have to meditate, to have to get to the house of worship. It might seem difficult. That's a lot. You're asking a lot of me this morning, Brother Chris. What did God ask of Jesus? He said, "Give me your life. Show me that you're willing to give your very life for the love of people who don't even acknowledge you exist." So, in retrospect, putting those things first in our lives don't really compare to what Christ had to do. He gave Him His whole self under the Father's will that you and I might have salvation this morning. And so it's only right that we get to the point where we can give the very first and the very best of all we have and all we are to God and His kingdom. So we want to just really help you to understand this morning that determination is a beautiful, you could almost say it's like the engine that drives your vehicle of success. We could say that desire was the key that got it started, like we talked about last night. But if you won't put it in gear and let that engine go, what are you going to do? You're going to sit still and you're going to burn all that gas that's in the tank. That desire, that thing that you want, I want to serve God, I'm going to do it. But if you won't let determination engage, you're never going to get anywhere. You're going to sit still, and then what will you have? A useless vehicle that won't go anywhere unless you get it filled up again. And there's no reason that you have to sit there and continually go back to get filled up like that. But rather, you can move right along. You can get that vehicle of success going. You can let determination drive you to the next point, and there's a filling station for you in a service, in the Word of God, in a revival meeting, in whatever it might be. It's going to be there to encourage you and to keep you going on to greater things. And if we think about determination this morning, we keep using the word recipe for success, right? And most of us, when we hear the word recipe, what do we think of? Cooking. I like to cook, and I like to eat. So does Brother Gordon. Thank the Lord. And if I was going to compare success, or determination rather, this morning, to an ingredient that we would use in cooking, I would compare it to salt. And you might think, well, salt? Yes, salt. In cooking, salt is important in almost everything you do. Many times, if you leave salt out of a recipe, all those expensive ingredients that you put together will be ruined because nothing will react right together without the salt. It's important. It not only provides flavor, but it also provides necessary reactions for other ingredients to fulfill their full potential in a recipe. Salt is very, very important. You leave salt out, and things become bland and sometimes even inedible. That's like determination. You can have a whole lot of good intentions, but with no determination, all these good intentions are going to be like the pieces of a puzzle, and you don't have any of the corner pieces, and you don't even know where to start. They're just going to sit there, good intentions, by themselves. You add determination into that mix, and all of a sudden, those good intentions find a life of their own because of your determination. And you start to become something in the kingdom of God that you didn't realize that you could even be. And that's exactly what God wants you to be this morning. You need to have determination. It's one of the most important ingredients in our recipe for success. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus even says, if salt has lost its savor, it's useless. And that salt can't be put back into it. And it's like that with determination, right? If you have a desire and that determination just never enables you to get anywhere, let's turn and read there in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse. Just one verse, quickly. Ye, speaking about you and I, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And that's how it is. If we don't take that determination, that salt, and if we don't sprinkle that upon that desire, then we are good for nothing. We have great desires with nothing to get them done with. It's determination. And you know, anytime I think of determination, that word and what it means for someone to be determined, my mind often goes to the book of Genesis, and it goes to a young man named Joseph. And we are all very familiar with the story. I won't take time to read the entire thing to you this morning. But we know right from the very beginning, it seemed like Joseph was on the road to success. He was loved greatly by his father with a God-given gift to interpret dreams. Joseph's obedience to God and his own father became a great source of contention with his own brothers. That contention grew to hatred, and that hatred grew to the thought, let's just kill him. His own brothers wanted to murder Joseph. But as Reuben pled there with his brothers not to slay him, we know that Joseph was cast into the pits and then eventually sold for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites as they came along. He was taken into Egypt and sold to Potiphar. But I think it's beautiful in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the second verse, that's Genesis 39 and verse 2, it says at the beginning of that verse, very simply and very beautifully, and the Lord was with Joseph. And that's beautiful. That tells me that Joseph, in the midst of everything that had already happened, not to mention what will happen in a moment, but in the midst of all that, had a desire and a determination that he was going to do what's right. Because without that, God surely wouldn't have been with him. Joseph had to have stayed true even in those difficult times. The story goes on, and we know that Joseph was made an overseer in the house of Potiphar. The Bible tells us there that Joseph was goodly, a goodly person, and well-favored. Let's read quickly Genesis 39, 5 through 9. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph had determination to do what was right. He could have had anything he wanted in that house. And the opportunity presented himself, no doubt, in a very tempting way. But Joseph said, how can I do this? How can I commit such a wicked and evil act and sin against God? Being able to stand up to a temptation like that doesn't just happen because you're there. It happens because you have determination down within your heart, down within your soul, that no matter what comes your way, you're going to stand and do what's right. And we have to have that kind of determination. You say, I can't have that determination. Why not? Joseph was just a man. He was a young man, just like many of the young men in this congregation right here today. But he was a young man that had determination. A young man that purposed in his heart he would not sin against God. That is beautiful determination that leads to beautiful success. He was just a man. He hurt, he bled, he cried, he laughed, he dreamed. He was just like you and he was just like me. But yet, he didn't give in. He was determined to serve God, to do what was right, because he knew that his success was contingent upon that obedience to God. He didn't let that success go to his head like Belshazzar, thinking he could do anything he wanted. But rather, he knew that the only thing that he had in life that he could consider a success came from God. And that came out of something that many, many people, I would say the majority of people today, would have given up on. Think about it. You're thrown in a pit. Your brothers want to kill you. You're sold into slavery. You're in a foreign land. How many people would just give up right then and there? But Joseph not only stayed right in there, he stayed determined to serve God in a foreign place. And God gave him great success. And there are countless others in the Bible. I have a bunch of scriptures, but for the sake of time this morning, I don't want to keep you a long time. So let's just think about some others in the Bible this morning that showed great determination. There are multitudes. But let's think of Jacob, who found his true love in Rachel. And he was required to work for 7 years for her hand in marriage. So young people, if you're courting this morning, once you get to 7 years, come and talk to us. I'm teasing. That's a long time. 7 years is a long time. I don't know if I could have waited 7 years for my precious companion. I wasn't required to, thank the Lord. 7 years is a long time. But he was determined to make that love of his life his wife. But what happened? 7 years came, he was deceived, and it wasn't Rachel. So what did he have to do? Work seven more. Now, he could have just taken his wife then and there and left. But he was determined to make Rachel his wife. That's determination. That is real determination. Think of Job this morning. When Job was alive, he was, the Bible tells us, the most successful man in the world. He was the richest and undoubtedly the most powerful man. He was the epitome of success. Why do you think Job received that success? Because of his obedience to God. And so the devil said, the only reason he serves you is because you give him all of this. Take some things away from him and forget it. So what did God allow to happen? Job lost everything. He lost his holdings. He lost his property. He lost family members. He lost his health. He lost his friends. He even lost the support of his wife. You could say, short of his life, Job lost it all. But what does the Bible say so beautifully? That in all of this, Job never ever charged God foolishly. He was determined that even in the face of great loss, he would stay true to God. And what did God do? He blessed him more in the latter end than he had in the beginning. Think of Paul, who being shipwrecked, jailed, and beaten, time and time again, refused to stop proclaiming the gospel. And his writings are so prolific in the New Testament and such a help to all of us. He was determined that no matter what state he was in, he would do the will and the work of God. And then ultimately, we already referred to Jesus Christ, who leaving heaven and all of its glory, and his Father came down and was determined to fulfill the perfect will of his Father, even though it required great travail, suffering, and ultimately his life. He was determined when he met Satan in the wilderness. He was determined when he was beaten and scourged and mocked. And he was determined as he hung there upon the cross to do his part for you and I to have eternal life. That is what we could say this morning, the epitome of determination. In this life, as we strive to achieve the ultimate success of making heaven our home, we must individually and collectively have a fierce determination that we will serve God and live for Him no matter what, no matter what the cost, no matter where it takes us, no matter who goes with us, or even if we must go alone. But we must stay determined to the very end. We talked about desire being that first step of a great journey. And I also mentioned briefly that it's not the first step that's the most important. It is important, and it gets us going. But too many times that first step never ever amounts to what it should because people give up. In closing here, I'm going to read you another story. It's titled Worth the Wait. Why do they come? Why do they hang around to watch the slowest high school cross-country runner in America? Why do they want to see a kid finish the 3.1-mile race in 51 minutes when the winner did it in 16? Why do they cry? Why do they nearly break their wrists applauding for a junior who falls flat on his face almost every race? Why do they hug a teenager who could be beaten by any other kid running backwards? Why do they do it? Why do all of his teammates go back out on the course and run the last 10 minutes of every race with him? Why do other teams do it too? And the girls' teams? Why run all the way back out there to pace a kid running around like a tortoise with bunions? Why? Because Ben Coleman never quits. See, Ben has a heart just slightly larger than the Chicago Hyatt. He also has cerebral palsy. The disease doesn't mess with his intellect. He gets A's and B's, but it seizes his muscles and contorts his body and gives him the balance of a Times Square drunk. Yet there he is, competing for the Hannah High cross-country team in Anderson, South Carolina, dragging that racked body over rocks and fallen branches and ditches. And people ask, why? Because I feel like I've been put here to set an example, says Ben. Anybody can find something they can do and even do it well. I like to show people that you can either stop trying or you can pick yourself up and keep going. It's just more fun to keep going. It must be because faced with what Ben faces, most of us would quit. Imagine what it feels like for Ben to watch his perfectly healthy twin Alex or his younger brother Chris run like rabbits for Hannah High, while Ben runs like a man whacking through an Amazon thicket. Imagine never beating anybody to the finish line. Imagine dragging that stubborn left side, pulling that unbending tire iron of a leg around to the front, and pogo sticking off of it with his right. Worse, he lifts his feet so little that he trips on anything. A Twinkie-sized rock, a licorice-thick branch, the cracks between linoleum tiles. But he won't let anybody help him up. It messes up my flow, he says. He's not embarrassed. He's just mad. Worst, he falls hard. His brain can't send signals fast enough for his arms to cushion his fall. So he often smacks his head or his face or his shoulder. Sometimes his mom, Joan, can't watch. I've been coaching cross country for 31 years, says Hannah's Chuck Parker, and I've never met anyone with the drive that Ben has. I don't think there's an inch of that kid that I haven't had to bandage up. But never before Ben finishes the race, like Rocky Marciano, Ben finishes bloody and bruised, but never beaten. Oh, he always loses. Ben barely finishes ahead of Sunset. Forget other runners. But he hasn't quit once. Through rain, wind, or welt, he always crosses the finish line. It is some sight when he gets there, Ben clunking his way home, shepherded by all those kids, while the cheerleaders screech and parents try to holler encouragement, only to find nothing coming out of their voice boxes. The other day, Ben was coming in with his huge army, Ben's friends, his face stoplight red and tortured, that laborious gait eating up the earth inch by inch. When he fell not 10 yards from the line, there was a gasp from the parents and a second of silence from the kids. But then Ben went through the 15-second process of getting his bloody knees under him, his balance back and his forward motion going again, and he finished. From the roar, you thought he'd won a marathon. Words can't describe that moment, says his mom. I saw a grown man just stand there and cry. Ben does drills for Habitat for Humanity, devotes hours to the holding of the hand of his disabled neighbor, Miss Jessie, and plans to run a marathon and become a doctor. the youth of today. On one aside, Hanahai is also the home of a mentally challenged man known as Radio, who has been the football team's assistant for more than 30 years. Seems like a great place to be. If you feel like you need a little dose of humanity, get yourself to Hannah, and while you're there, go out and join Ben's friends. You'll be amazed at what a little jog can do for your heart. That's determination. That's determination. That's a never quit attitude that you and I could learn something from this morning. This young man puts himself through paces that you and I wouldn't think to do, and he does it for nothing other than the fact that he's running in a race. A race that starts in an afternoon and ends in an afternoon. You and I are running in a far greater race this morning. You and I have much more on the line this morning than a prize like he could ever gain. What's our never quit attitude like? When we trip over that Twinkie-sized rock or that licorice-thick branch, when a tiny little thing stumbles us, do we stay down and say, it's not worth it? Or do we have enough determination that we're going to do what's right and live for Christ in this dark world to get up and press right on towards the goal? Trials come. Stumbles come. Valleys come. But it's not the person who stays down that wins a prize. It's that person that has determination enough to get up and finish the race. And young people, this morning, life's not always easy. But we want you to know that you can have that same kind of determination. He's running for nothing more than the sake of running. You are running literally this morning for your life. We're in a race this morning that we will either win or lose. There's no middle ground. And we must be determined that we will finish the race. This young man wins not because he finishes ahead of someone else. He wins because he crosses the finish line. And that's what it's like for you and I this morning. You'll win by crossing the finish line, living the right life. If you give up, if you don't get up, if you have an I quit attitude, then you don't have a chance. So I want you to understand this morning that determination to be everything God wants you to be will lead you to that ultimate success, and that is making heaven our home. Quitting is easy. Giving up is the rule. Throwing in the towel is the status quo today. That's just what people want to do. No one wants to see things through. Don't be like everybody else, young people. Don't be one of the masses. Be what God intends for you to be, a special, beautiful, successful Christian who has the determination that it will take to live above sin, to live for others, to live for the service of God. Have that kind of determination that nothing is going to keep you down, that you'll go this way even if you have to give everything you've got, and even if you have to go it alone. Have that kind of determination this morning. In closing, there's a man that many of us know by the name of Jim Valvano. He was a very successful basketball coach in the 1980s. He gave a speech at an awards banquet in 1993. As he gave this speech, his body was wrought with cancer, terminal cancer, and full of tumors. As he stood up for 10 minutes and gave the prepared remarks about what life was to him and how to live each day with enthusiasm and to cherish each moment that you have, he talked about an organization that he was starting for cancer research called the Jimmy V Foundation. And he said, I needed a motto for that foundation. And his motto is a phrase that has rang true to many ever since. And it's simply this: don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning, young people. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. There is too much to gain, too much to lose. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Determine in your hearts, even this morning, that no matter what, you will live for Christ. That is a key ingredient for your spiritual success.